It's been a long season. The 2015 season of college football is now closer to the end than the beginning. We've seen all kinds of things that you never would have expected. We've had several teams from the American Conference doing really well and in play, and some people protesting their low rankings in the playoff ballots by the committee. We've seen Notre Dame rise up and throw a wrench in some of this. And then we've seen the Pac-12 not really play to expectations. Well, there's so many things. There are just so many things that we could talk about and were unexpected. But I think that probably the place that you want to start with, if I'm reading my cards right, is that I just recently showed you a film that you said you had never even heard of before, and that didn't happen very often. Will, explain to me, you know, what it's like to just experience a film like The Shadow starring Alec Baldwin for the first time.
You know, this isn't where I thought we were going to go, to be quite honest.
Well, honestly, okay.
Yeah, but it was really interesting. The Shadow, 1994, I believe, starring Alec Baldwin and Sir Ian McKellen.
Yes, yes.
It was a fun little flick, and you know, it's weird. Movies like that, I feel like those types of movies are movies that I should have seen
right
at some point in the last 21 years. And it's very surprising to me that I had not seen it. So, yeah, it was really cool to see to experience an old movie like it was new.
That is fun. And, you know, it's based on the old radio drama. So you don't see that kind of stuff anymore either, based on radio shows. Everything is a comic book. But, yeah, it is fun, and I agree with you. And Will, it was a good start to the college football weekend to watch an old, not really a superhero film, but an old film with a hero.
It was kind of like a noir almost.
Yes.
Like, you know,
kind of a pulp novel feel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we got football. We got football this weekend. On top of that, Will, I just have to ask, you now seem like you're off the Duke train, and you didn't pick Duke, and you were right. What's going on with the Duke Blue Devils football team?
Well, I can't speak much for the Duke Blue Devils. Yeah, they got killed by Pittsburgh, 31-13. But what I can say is that while I was wrong about Duke, we all were wrong about North Carolina.
Right.
Because they last week played a whale of a game.
Incredible.
Absolutely shellacking Miami, 59-21. Andrew, this is going to be a really interesting developing story. And you want to talk about spoiler and someone who could absolutely play spoiler going down the road for the ACC and, you know, college football in general, is North Carolina, because they have an opportunity to knock off the number one team in the country in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. When they inevitably play, I think they did clinch. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they're in now.
Yes, I believe you're correct.
They only have two games left, and they would have the tiebreaker against everybody else.
Yeah.
So I believe that they are indeed in. Maybe Pittsburgh has an outside shot. What's Pittsburgh's record? They may only have one conference loss. Pittsburgh would be the only team that could get in, but they would have to win out, and UNC would have to lose their last two games.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it's going to happen, though. I think that UNC is going to win out this season, and when they meet Clemson in the ACC championship game, it is going to be a really, really interesting game because they have pulled it together. Like, you want to talk about most improved teams in the country? I think you could arguably say that most disappointing team coming into this season, and probably all of college football, would probably be the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, just given what the expectations were coming into the season and where they are now. But if you were going to argue for a most surprising team besides Iowa, I think Iowa is probably the most surprising team in all of college football.
Right.
I think you can make a really strong case for North Carolina being the most surprising, not necessarily because of the offense that they've been playing, but because of their defense.
Yeah, they've had the offense for a few years, but finally have a defense to kind of match it. And that hire of Gene Chizik, we've spoken about it previously. It's a great hire, and I wonder how long he's going to be there. Beginning of the season, Chizik was saying that he just wanted to be a coordinator now, and the head coaching thing was out of his blood, but I don't know. I think if somebody, the right job came calling, he's going to take it. And there are a lot of jobs open. So it seems like somebody is going to call Gene Chizik.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so with all the jobs that are opening up. And we can talk a little bit later about a game that, you know, or a team that somewhat surprising opening now, but yeah, I would think that it's going to be very, very difficult for North Carolina to hang on to him going forward. Besides those first two games, other games in the ACC that happened and were some games closer than you would expect, one of them being Clemson at Syracuse. Always a danger playing in the old Carrier Dome. You know, Clemson, of course, expected to win big, but you always have to be careful for the Orange or the Orange Men or whatever they actually are.
It's an orange.
Is it just orange?
Yeah, an orange, you know, it's like it's a fruit or a color.
So,
color or a fruit.
So do we say, like, when we pluralize it, like, do we say the oranges? Or is it like the Stanford like cardinal, and it's just like a singular?
I think
you know,
it's
like
always
fish.
I think it's always singular.
Okay.
Yeah, there are many orange.
Well, even though Syracuse has lost, oh gosh, 6 straight games going into this one, they gave Clemson a fight in this one. There was actually a point in the game about midway through the third quarter where Syracuse had all the momentum, and I was wondering for a little bit if they were going to actually maybe pull an upset, but Clemson kind of righted the ship and got it back on track, and they ended up winning 37-27. But, I mean, and those are the types of games that, you know, teams that are up at the top, you'll run into those games sometimes where you gotta face a little bit of adversity, and especially when you're number one, everybody's gunning for you. So that was another one of those situations. Wake Forest got beat by Notre Dame 28-7. That's no surprise. It's actually a little bit of a surprise that Notre Dame didn't score more, but they did. They may have some trouble on their hands because one of their running backs, Prosyth, had to walk off the field and due to injury. So as of right now, I have not heard what his status is going into next week's game against Boston College, but it is something for the number 4 team in the country to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Other games, there was Virginia and Louisville. Louisville won this one 38-31. This was the lone game, Andrew, in the SEC that we had, or excuse me, the ACC that we had a disagreement on. You picked Louisville, I picked Virginia. That ended up being a good pick, Andrew. Good job on that one.
Well, you know, occasionally I make a good pick. I don't know. Maybe it's luck.
Yeah, maybe it is. The other game in the on the other Saturday game in the ACC was NC State at Florida State. Sean McGuire looks like he is now the de facto starter. He's played a lot the last couple weeks, and he played well in this game. And FSU wins 34-17 against the struggling Wolfpack. I'm still upset that NC State has not been my dark horse contender in the Atlantic.
Yeah, well, maybe next year. That's kind of the way the Wolfpack function. And another school here, Will, the Wolfpack, they're not the Wolfpacks or the Wolves. So
true.
They are the Wolfpack.
True.
The Wolfpack maybe true. Next year will be the team to beat. You got to remember, those teams from North Carolina always seem to be a year or two behind the predictions. So if they're a sexy pick this year, just wait till everybody writes them off in a year or two. Then they're going to be good.
Yeah, they're still trying to catch up on, you know, like, you know, Breaking Bad and, you know, the shows that, you know, were a few years old. They're not up with the times yet, you know.
TV has nothing to do with this, Will. I don't understand the
Well, you know, they're going to be watching the like season finale of The Office in, you know, a couple weeks. So, they're trying to catch up. They're trying to Lost, you know. Lost just finished over there.
Now, are you just talking about the Wolfpack players?
No, I'm talking about all of North Carolina and South Carolina. Like, you know, well, they're all...
Well, I lived in South Carolina.
Yeah, well, they're all a little bit behind.
Oh, I disagree. I in South Carolina, I watched, you know, stuff.
Well, it's like, did you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
I have seen the show. Are you saying that they don't have that in North Carolina?
Well, there was a joke in the TV show that, like, they had just seen The Matrix. Like, they had just got the DVD for The Matrix, and they were just finding out about it. And it was, like, you know, 6 years after it came out, so.
Yeah, I never was a fan of the sequels. The first Matrix, I thought, held up pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not talking about The Matrix
in
this show.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that don't necessarily have like an S at the end of it, another one played on Thursday night, the Rambling Wreck. Because you don't say Rambling Wrecks, do you?
Well, it depends on who's talking.
You say the Rambling Wreck. You just say the Rambling Wreck from Georgia Tech, right?
Ah, yes, okay.
You don't put an S, unless you put a S on our Yellow Jackets, which is, I guess, our more secondary mascot. To the Rambling Wreck, but they came up against the Hokies, which you do put an S on, but I'm still not 100% sure what a Hokie is.
No.
I'm not sure if anybody knows. But Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech played last Thursday. This was a game that Georgia Tech led for, what would you say, about 85% of the game?
Yeah, I'd say.
At least. But the entire game, it never really felt like Georgia Tech was in a position to win. They were up 14-0 after the first quarter, but Virginia Tech scored 14 in the second quarter, and then Georgia Tech took a early lead on a pick six in the third quarter, and that was the last of their scoring. And Virginia Tech took the lead with about 7 minutes left in the game. And Georgia Tech was driving almost in the field goal range, and then a very unfortunate personal flag penalty against Aaron Joe pushed Georgia Tech out of range and effectively ended the ball game. That's not the reason we lost, though. That's one of the reasons we lost, but turnovers were a big issue from guys that probably shouldn't be turning over the ball, two by the senior Broderick Snoddy, and then one by Marcus Allen, the junior. With all the freshmen that are playing, you don't expect your older guys to be the guys that are dropping the ball. So, just a very unfortunate game. Another game that the Jackets were in till the very end, but couldn't close the door, couldn't get in position for the knockout punch, and now they have dropped to 3-7. Probably the bowl streak is over. There's talk that a 5-7 Tech team could get a bowl offer still, but
really?
No
what?
One is count. Yeah, there are. There's because there's so many tie-ins that they have to fill them all. And there is a chance that Georgia Tech could get one at 5-7.
Okay.
But Babinski, the athletic director, has said that Georgia Tech may decline a bowl invitation if given one at 5-7. But I doubt they would do that.
Hmm.
If they're given an invitation, they'll take it.
Yeah, you need all that extra practice time that comes with a bowl. Very interesting. I hadn't heard that. That's a strange. I don't know. I think
it's happened before.
I don't know about that. I don't like the precedent that starts. If you start
you have like 45 bowls now.
You have too many bowls.
You do have too many bowls.
That's the problem.
So unfortunate loss for the Yellow Jackets, but as Coach Paul Johnson says, it is what it is, and we'll get to the next week. Let's move on to the SEC from last week and go through those games really quick before we move on to the next week. First one, and probably the biggest, Alabama at Mississippi State. Biggest in the sense that, you know, highest-ranked team in the SEC. Alabama takes care of business. They win 31-6. No problem for the Tide in this one. They maintain their momentum. One of the top teams in the SEC did have an issue, though. LSU, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, gets crushed by Arkansas. This is 2 years in a row, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is. And Arkansas kind of gets the benefit in that they seem to always play LSU right after LSU plays Alabama. So I think part of it is that you're letting Alabama beat you twice. That's something as a team that you can't do. You've got to coach the team so that they don't come out flat, which they did. They came out flat here. And I really think that, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, that LSU is a much better team, because obviously they're not. But it's a game that you shouldn't have lost, I don't think. And
right.
they didn't even keep it close.
No, not close at all.
Yeah, and that's troubling, and I think then that's now two losses for LSU. They're effectively out of the playoff race. They're out of the SEC West race.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I mean it is it's kind of unfortunate for them. They started the season so well, and to kind of trickle out down the end, it's unfortunate. So it begs the question, and I think we always talk about this. Some of these fan bases are very unrealistic, I guess would be the word, in terms of what they believe can happen. And my question is, even though it's only two losses in 95% of the country and teams would be happy with the season that LSU is having, there are going to be some, I think, in the LSU community who are going to start calling for Les Miles Head.
It's like, what have you done for me lately?
Right. Can't beat Alabama. Always seems to
lose.
Can't
even beat Arkansas.
Can't even beat Arkansas. Always seeming to not meet expectations. So I disagree with it. I think this is kind of the SEC West version of the Mark Rick story right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Except that Les Miles has an even better, you know, resume than Mark Richt in terms of SEC championships and appearances and, you know, the national championship game and, you know, all of that. I would say that he's got an even better, stronger resume than Mark Richt.
Right. I would too.
Okay. Let's move on though. And all that said though, Alabama is the only team that controls their own destiny. I mean, nothing's changed there, but Ole Miss still can sneak in. If they win out and Alabama loses the game, really the only game they have left is Auburn. That's a tall order. But if Auburn does beat Alabama and Ole Miss wins out, then Ole Miss goes to the SEC championship game. But so they don't control their – I mean, they control their own destiny, but it's not a, you know, it's not a done deal yet. Alabama still has to do some work to stay in the – they still have to win out to guarantee that they are in the SEC championship game.
Right, right, right. And I mean, Auburn always plays them tough, so that's going to be a game
they
to
do.
Watch.
Yeah, Iron Bowl is usually a close game. Okay, next game is Florida and South Carolina. Florida, after laying an egg against Vanderbilt and still winning, they play a little bit better against South Carolina. They do win 24-14. Nothing to write home about with a score like that, but it was on the road, and it was a game that they, you know, should have won, and they won. So good job for Florida. I mean, for Florida, everything is gravy this year because there's no way that you can expect to be in that position. You know, we talk about Iowa being surprising, UNC being surprising. Florida's another one that's been very, very surprising. They were picked at the very bottom or near the bottom of the SEC East, and now they are, you know, top 10, have a outside shot at getting into the playoffs if they win the SEC. You know, they have really, really defied a lot of expectations and done well this season, even though they've had to win a couple of really close games against subpar competition.
Right, and I agree with you. It is very much a gravy scenario where you didn't expect all of this. They were not supposed to win the SEC East. The downside of it is, if you're Jim McElwain, you have really set the bar high. So, good luck with those Florida fans. Good luck.
I mean, they're also benefiting from a relatively soft schedule.
Sure, sure.
The SEC East is no powerhouse. I mean, you look at their wins. They've got win. Barely beat Tennessee. 28-27. Their best win is Ole Miss, 38-10. And at the time, Ole Miss was number 3 in the country. But now Ole Miss is not even ranked. So that was the only ranked team that they beat, and they're no longer ranked. If you look at all of their wins, there's no currently ranked teams that they've won against. Their one loss is to LSU, who has since lost 2 games. So, I mean, really, there's no tough teams on that schedule that they've played. The last game that they play, they have FAU coming up this upcoming weekend, and then they have FSU the last game of the season, which will be likely their toughest game, will be their toughest game on the whole schedule when it's all said and done, because I think LSU might have another loss in them as well. But yeah, I mean, they've really benefited from a soft schedule. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I think that Florida State is going to give them a run for their money. That's for sure.
Right, right. Okay, let's move on. Last week, Georgia-Auburn. This was one that we picked incorrectly. At the time, the reason we both picked Auburn to win is that we said that their quarterback situation wasn't as bad as Georgia's. Well, their quarterbacks played really awful last week against Georgia, that being Auburn's quarterbacks.
Right.
They played really, really bad. Not to say that Georgia's played better, but Grayson Lambert, he went 12 for 17, 97 yards. They're doing what they know that he can do, which is these little short passes. Jeremy Johnson and Sean White threw for a combined 15 for 27, 62 yards, 1 interception, just not playing very well. And they were able to get the running game going a little bit, but turnovers and special teams mishaps did in the Auburn Tigers, as really the difference in the game was a long punt return by Georgia. So, big win for the Bulldogs against a long-time rival. It was interesting. You want to talk about close rivals, you know, over the course of, you know, more than 100 years. Going into the game, the record these two teams had against each other was 55-55-8.
Wow.
So, yeah, as close as you can get. So Georgia now takes the edge in this one. They have 56 wins now in the series. So that is, I believe that they are one of the longest rivalries in all of college football, and I mean it's always been close. So low scoring game, 2013 was the final in this one, but Georgia does come out on top. and they have a chance to put, you know, they can get a 10-win season out of this if they win out and win their bowl game, which would be a surprise for a lot of people, I think, based on how they were playing towards the middle of the season. But they still have a lot of work to do. They got a couple of, you know, not easy games left in their schedule, that's for sure.
That is true. They still have some work to do, Will. Still have some work to do.
Absolutely. Okay, Tennessee beat North Texas 24-0. Texas A&M beat Western Carolina 41-17. A couple of surprises. One, based on, because I think you thought my Vandy pick was insane, but Vandy beat Kentucky 21-17. So there were only two games that we picked differently last week, and it was a wash because you got one and I got one. And then, or I take that back. You did pick Virginia Tech to win, didn't you? So I guess you did pick up a game.
Oh, did I? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Super.
And then the last game, which is, this was an awful surprise for me. Missouri did beat BYU 20-16. If I were, you know, if I had $100 and I was going to bet on a team to lose, I was absolutely going to pick Missouri to lose just based on what's going on campus over there. But a maybe not so surprising bit of information, Gary Pinkle, coach of the Tigers, resigning at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I don't know. It is surprising, I think. Especially the scenario in which it happens. Now he's saying that he was diagnosed with some disease. And, you know, it's a sad way for this all to end for him, honestly. I mean, he's been there, winningest coach in program history.
Right.
Best, I think maybe the best winning percentage of any coach that's ever been there. So he's been there a long time. And
like 13 years, I think.
Yeah, it's just a sad way for this thing to kind of end for him. So. Hats off to the career, and I hate to see all of the turmoil and stuff that's going on around the campus. It's kind of been the football team's been brought into, for him to go out like that. I honestly, if I'm a football coach, I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole.
Ooh, man, yeah, that's a dangerous one.
Yeah, no
you know,
way.
and that's the thing. Like, who do you get to replace? Because you know all these college football coaching positions that are open,
yeah.
And there's a lot of really attractive positions open everywhere. And Missouri, with it opening up, I mean, you got to figure with what's going on campus, you know, who wants to get involved in that? I mean, even for a head coaching job, I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get a coach that they want in there. I mean, obviously someone's going to take the job, but it's going to be a very, very difficult coaching position to fill because there's a lot of politics going on campus that some coaches may just not want to mess with.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that it's going to be it's just going to be a tough job to fill, really. I mean, I just don't know. It's not going to be the A-list candidates, just based on the fact there's so many other jobs.
Right. Okay, that does it for Week 11. Let's just jump right into Week 12. This is one of those weeks where we're, you know, doubling up. And we're going to go right into Week 12. Let's start in the SEC, because the SEC schedule is really weak this particular week. Because this is what the SEC does every week, is that every team just about loads up on very subpar competition to get ready for rivalry week. They're one of the only conferences that does this en masse. Every conference has a few teams that does this, but the SEC is known for just about every team doing it this next to last week of the season. So let's just start right off the bat. FAU at Florida. Any reason to think Florida's going to falter in this one?
Well, they manage to keep it close every week, but I agree with you. Florida will win this game. They have just so much. The snowball is rolling downhill, and I don't think it's going to stop for FAU.
I agree. Next one, Citadel at South Carolina. Now, South Carolina has struggled a lot, but have they struggled enough to lose to a team like the Citadel?
Nope.
I agree with you. Idaho at Auburn. Auburn's going to win that one. Man, I you know this is one of those games where you get worried for some people. Charleston Southern at Alabama. That's a
yeah. You're gonna call the dogs off after a quarter. Alabama's gonna win by a bunch.
Right. Charlotte at Kentucky. You know, I think this is Charlotte's very first season, and in college football.
Is that so?
I believe so.
Good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah. They are going to get beat by Kentucky. Okay, so that does it for all of those games. There is one other one, which in seasons past may be a gimme, and that's Georgia Southern at Georgia. This is an interesting one because Georgia has struggled in a lot of ways this season, but they have managed to win 7 games.
Right.
Georgia Southern, on the other hand, this is their second year in the Power Five. They have 2 losses on their schedule. One at the very beginning of the year to West Virginia, but they did not have a quarterback at that time. Then they lost to App State, at App State, and they've won every single one of their games pretty convincingly. They have an offense, and they're going to score some points. Is this a game where Georgia's going to have to really, really play a good game to keep up, or am I just overthinking this too much?
I think you might be overthinking it. However, Georgia Southern is a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are.
And Georgia is just not a great team right now. Will, they're just not a great team.
I mean, this is not a no-brainer. I mean, it's easy to say, oh yeah, Georgia's going to win. But look at last year. Georgia Tech, who ended up winning the Orange Bowl, had to win with a last-minute touchdown to beat Georgia Southern. So this is a game that Georgia Southern has had circled because, I mean, your second year in FBS level play, you want to make an impression and beat the in-state teams. And I don't know. I mean, this is one that's going to be interesting to watch.
It will be. I'm going to pick. Who are you going to pick, Will?
I'm going to pick Georgia. I think Georgia is going to have they're going to have the depth, and they're going to have the defense to contain Georgia Southern. And I don't think Georgia Southern is going to have enough defense to slow down Georgia's running game. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than Georgia fans want it to be. I'm going to say it's going to be like 10 points or less, and it's going to be up in the air in the fourth quarter.
I am going to disagree with you. I'm going to pick Georgia Southern to win this game.
Okay.
You know, why not?
Yeah, why not? And, you know, I'm going to be at this game, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. So you'll get to see it in person.
I'll get to see it in person.
Now, look. Georgia Southern, they lost to App State. They lost to West Virginia. They got beat pretty bad by West Virginia. So maybe this isn't as good of a team as they've had. But they're going to score some points, I think. Like you said,
yeah,
I think they'll win this game. They've got, like you said,
it would be a really, really interesting turn of events if that happened.
They beat Florida a couple years ago. They sure did.
So they're a feisty team, and they're going to be ready. That stadium is not going to faze them. They're used to playing in big stadiums. It's not going to faze them at all.
This is the game they've got to win, because if you want to be taken seriously as a program, you got to win these types of games. This is how Bobby Bowden built Florida State, by going in to these big stadiums when nobody thought Florida State was anything and winning them. I mean, he had the gauntlet schedule year in and year out, and they started beating these teams, and then people started taking Florida State seriously. You have to win this kind of game if you want to be taken seriously. Georgia Southern is going to win it. It's going to be close, but they'll win it.
Right. Okay, let's finish up with the SEC schedule. Texas A&M at Vandy. What do you think?
Well, I keep picking the Aggies, and they keep disappointing me. But I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pick the Aggies. I know that, you know, Vandy's coming off a big win. But I just really think that at some point, the athletics and the athletes that you have to play in. And I think that they have better athletes at Texas A&M.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And Vandy, yeah, they beat Kentucky, but Kentucky's not very good. Right. And they still don't have a good quarterback. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think Texas A&M wins. How about Tennessee at Missouri?
Tennessee always finds a way to lose these games, don't they, Will?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hate to, you know, I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. I didn't believe in Missouri. I still don't. So I'm going to pick Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to win the game. I know that they had an emotional victory last week, win one for the coach, but I just don't really believe in Missouri.
This is going to be the last home game for Gary Pinkle.
Yep. Tough way to go out.
So I'm going to pick Missouri. I just think that he's going to be able to dial something up here in this last game and make it a win. They beat BYU. That's no easy task. So win one for the Gipper. Last game of the season at home. Yeah, I'm going to pick Missouri. Okay, let's move. Let's keep going through the schedule. Mississippi State at Arkansas. Arkansas has got some momentum. They've won two games in a row, like that you wouldn't expect them to win. Mississippi State, they just got beat bad by Alabama, but before that, they had a little winning streak. They had won four straight, albeit against subpar competition.
Who do you got, Will?
I think Arkansas has figured something out.
Really? You buy into Arkansas now? You're buying into
I don't think... I don't think that you beat LSU as badly as you do and then lose the next game to... I just think that they have the ability to win this game. I mean, they beat LSU on the road, and now they're coming home to play Mississippi State, who I don't think is as good as LSU. I think I'm going to pick Arkansas to win this game at home.
All right. You sold me on it. I don't want to believe in Arkansas. I really don't want to believe in Arkansas, but I'm going to pick them.
No. I mean, that's believing in Brett Bielema. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. The sloth.
Okay, last game, LSU at Ole Miss. LSU's, you know, they're falling off the rails a little bit. What do you think about their matchup with Ole Miss?
Well, this is a game they've had circled at Ole Miss for a little while, Will. They want to beat LSU, and they've done it in the years past. They have done it the last couple years. But is LSU really going to lose three games in a row?
The last game that Ole Miss played they had a bye, so it was 2 weeks ago, it will be 2 weeks ago, and there was that slugfest with Arkansas, where they lost 53-52 in overtime. They can score some points.
Yeah.
And they've had 2 weeks to get ready for this one. I think they can beat LSU. I think LSU might lose three games in a row.
I don't. I'm going to pick LSU. I think LSU is going to bounce back. They have to.
Okay.
Just,
all right.
Just
well,
for the
I'll,
good of the
I'm going to
mark
it. I'm going to mark it down.
For the good of the Bengals, you're just going to talk over me, aren't you, Will?
Yeah, I'm going to talk over you. Are you done?
I don't know.
Well, look, this is unprecedented. Three disagreements between us already. I thought this was going to be a cakewalk going through the SEC schedule.
Okay.
But we have three disagreements, and we're not even halfway done. Most weeks we don't have three disagreements. So we've got a whole other conference to get through. Let's go into that one.
Oh,
ACC,
right.
You ready?
All right.
North Carolina at Virginia Tech.
I'm picking North Carolina, Will. We always say that there's a time when North Carolina is just going to lose a game they shouldn't lose, but this year doesn't seem like that's going to be the year. So I'm picking.
Yeah, I agree with you. As of right now, the rankings for the college football playoff committee rankings haven't come out, but UNC is 12 in the AP, so I imagine that they're going to be somewhere similar in the college football playoff committee. They're moving up the polls. Man, you take away that loss at the beginning of the season, where do you think they would be? Probably 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. They're playing really good. Virginia Tech is not. I think that they are going to be able to beat Virginia Tech easily. It's going to be a blowout, I think.
Whew, a blowout. Yeah, I agree.
A blowout.
They can score a lot of points.
Okay, next game, Syracuse at NC State.
I'm going to pick NC State. It's your favorite team, and I'm going to pick them. I think that at some point, I mean, Syracuse is not a good team.
Syracuse has lost a lot of games this season.
Yeah, Syracuse is not a good team, and NC State last week against FSU, I mean, they started out hot, and they just couldn't keep up. But I really think that NC State, they were your team there for a while, Will.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at their schedule and look at who they've lost to, okay, you lost by 7 points to Louisville. You got beat pretty bad by Virginia Tech. You scored a lot of points against Clemson. You lost 56-41. I just think they've looked a lot better than Syracuse all year. Syracuse has not looked good. They played well at times against Clemson. They had a good third quarter. But I don't see Syracuse being able to keep up with the Wolfpack here. I agree with you. I think NC State, I picked them to win it all this year, but yeah, I think NC State can take on Syracuse.
Yeah, NC State will probably win the game so they can get to the seventh win and just be a 7-5 average team. That's going to be the
yeah. There you go. Well, that's what they're good at. Is
yep.
7-5 sounds just about right for NC State most years.
Yep.
Okay, this is a tough one. Georgia Tech at Miami.
I hate to say this, Will, but I said a few weeks ago that I just couldn't do it anymore. I'm just going to pick against Georgia Tech. You have to. They can't seem to find a way to win. I understand that theoretically it seems like they should be able to win. And I know what you're going to say about Miami. I hear you. I understand. I'll let you say it, but I'm just going to have to say I have to pick Miami.
Miami has the tendency to really, really just give up. And they've done it several times this season. Even in games where they've won, they've done it. Against Nebraska earlier in the season, they gave up a huge lead and just barely pulled it out, 36-33. They got killed by Clemson. They got killed by UNC just last week. They don't have a head coach. Even some of their wins aren't real wins. I mean, they beat Duke fraudulently. I mean, this is a game that Georgia Tech can win. Will they win? Probably not, because that's the way this season has gone for the Yellow Jackets. So, unfortunately, I do agree with you. I think that Miami will win this game, but it's going to be like every other game the Jackets play this year. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and something weird is going to happen, and the Jackets are going to lose. Unfortunately. Okay, I got a couple easy ones for you. Chattanooga at FSU.
I'm going to pick the Noles.
Good pick. Wake Forest at Clemson.
I'm going to pick Clemson.
I'm going to pick the Tigers. Here we go. Duke at Virginia.
I think Duke has to rebound eventually. I'm going to pick Duke, Will.
I think so, too. I think Duke is a better team than to lose multiple games in a row. Virginia's all right, but they did lose to Louisville last week. I just don't think they have enough to keep up with Duke and their defense and their quarterback. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Duke. Okay, Louisville at Pittsburgh.
Well, this is a tough one for me, but, you know, Louisville has won several really close games, Will. Their coaching staff seems to have a corner on the market of these close games that they're winning.
And they played well lately. They've won four straight.
That is true. That is true. Pitt, though, just seems like a more well-rounded team. They got a good defense. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh in this game.
Yeah, you know, I've been really high on Pitt most of the season. And if you look, you know, a lot of times you can tell things about a team based on not only who they beat, but who they lost to. And they've lost to Iowa, who is one of the big surprises of the season. And Iowa had to hit a 57-yard field goal to win. They lost to UNC in a pretty close game. 26-19 was the final in that one. Big, important game. And then they lost to Notre Dame, the game where they kept it probably closer than people thought they would, only losing 42-30. And then they beat Duke. So I think that Pittsburgh is a good team. They still technically have a shot to go to the ACC championship game. Yeah, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win this one.
I think that's a wise pick.
Okay, and last game, Boston College at Notre Dame. I believe Boston College still has technically the number one defense in all of college football. Is that going to matter in this one?
No, this is the old Catholic rivalry. And Boston College has pulled off some big upsets in their time, beating Notre Dame a couple times when they shouldn't have, and knocking Notre Dame out of the playoff picture. It's happened several times. But I think this year, I think they're just not enough on offense. I know that they're going to pull out all the stops in this game, Will. They really want to beat Notre Dame. This is a big game for them. Unfortunately, I think that we're going to see Notre Dame victorious in this game.
Yeah, this game is not really, it's played in Boston, but not really a home game because it's going to be played at Fenway Park, which is always fun when games are played, when they're played there. So, yeah, I agree with you. Notre Dame will win this game. Notre Dame is really good. Maybe a little bit low scoring just because Boston College does have good defense, but I'm not sure if Boston College can get into the end zone.
That might be true.
They might get a field goal. I could see them getting a field goal.
Yeah, field goal.
Well, Andrew, after all of that... Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off again.
You did. I say a field goal not to win it, but just a field goal somewhere along the way.
Yeah, well, they'll have a last-minute field goal to get on the board. You know, last-second field goal just to get some points on the board. To prevent the shutout.
Yeah.
Well, with all the misgivings that we had against each other in the SEC, we were pretty, I guess, you know, we agreed with each other in a lot of the games in the ACC, which somewhat surprised me, but maybe
absolutely.
It shouldn't have.
Yep, it was surprising, Will. Was surprising.
Yep. Well, Andrew, I think that's a show, unless you have anything else to add.
Oh, not a thing.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. My name, of course, is Will Patton. I've been joined by...
Andrew Brown.
This is the 4th and Short Podcast at 4thandshort.com. You can email us at 4thandshortpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook simply by searching for 4th and Short Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for joining me, Andrew. And I guess we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.